All right, everybody, welcome back to the Heath Barn. We had a little hiatus there, but we are back. This is episode 120, titled Autism, Wifey's Journey. My wife Mandy and I, we talk a little bit, you know, we joke around, talk a little bit. We talk about a little college, women's college basketball, little Iowa, South Carolina, things like that. We discuss that for a little bit, but then we switch over to... like I said, Autism Awareness Month is April this month. So my wife does an amazing job of explaining her journey, motherhood with children with autism, and now adults with autism. So it's a great episode. She does a great job. She did a little bit of public speaking, and she stopped doing that, but... we decided this was a good format for her to, again, kind of talk about her journey as a mother, having children with special needs. So, great episode. She does an amazing job. Very informative. Educate some people on things. I think it'd be great for mothers, parents in general, mothers dealing with these types of situations in day-to-day life, as we do. So, it's a great episode. She did an outstanding job, like I knew she would. So, give it a listen. And thank you for listening. Welcome to the Heath Barn. Again, Autism, Wifey's Journey. My wife, Amanda, doing an amazing job in this episode. Hit it. How's it going, wifey?
Good. Great.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. we're going to talk about lots of stuff today. Yep. It's be very informative. Mm-hmm. Educational.
I don't know.
Informative. I'm not going to be like teaching people math formulas or anything, so I don't know if it's educational, but first of all, didn't do an episode Monday.
No,
been a little, getting a little off. Yeah, life, you know,
life happens.
Yeah,
it does.
But first thing we can talk about real quick before we get into what we're going to talk about officially. The last episode, I had you listen back to it. It was just like a quick little bonus one where I talked about Iowa and Caitlin Clark and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And how they were getting all the calls because money and ratings and all that good stuff in a nutshell. And I stand by that. But I also said on that episode that I wanted South Carolina to beat them. And then I changed my mind. I won't get into why or anything. But... when I was watching that game, I was really, really rooting for Iowa big time. So.
You were.
But I wasn't going to lose any sleep over it either way. But it was one thing, though, that is I feel like she's gotten way too much attention. Caitlin Clark has, obviously. But it's also it's not her fault. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to turn down...
attention.
Not attention. Who's going to turn down commercials? Who's going to turn down, you know, whatever. So, yeah. I mean, again, she whines a little too much for me and things like that. And getting overexposed will just make people automatically kind of like be like, okay, I'm tired of her. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's happened some, with myself included.
Yeah.
And in the second round, they beat West Virginia. They won by 10, and I said this in the last little episode. They won by 10, but it was close the whole way through. Iowa shot 30 free throws. West Virginia shot 5. Mm-hmm. So...
crazy stuff.
Yes. So there are reasons to for people to get aggravated with the whole Iowa, Caitlin Clark, too much attention, blah, blah, blah. But she's catching a lot of flack from women's players, like WNBA players and all these. It's like, why can't they just come on, women, let's lift each other up.
Power. Yeah.
Let's lift each other up. Why we gotta be all jealous and it's ridiculous? Because whether you think you're better than her or not, and you'll have plenty of time to show that you are, because she's going to the WNBA. It's gonna help your tickets. It's gonna help revenue, all that good stuff.
Right.
What's the phrase about something boats raise all tides?
I have no idea.
Something like that.
I've never heard this phrase.
Something raises all ships. High tides raise all ships.
There you go. That sounds good.
Sounds closer.
Yeah, makes sense.
I still don't think it's right, but it's a hell of a lot closer than what I said the first time. Yeah. Yeah. So high tides raise all ships, I believe. I don't know, something like that. So anywho, just congratulate her on a great career, and then, you know, let her go to the WNBA, and whatever happens, happens. But you've got these WNBA players like just not giving her enough credit. And I wish I should have Googled this lady's name before the lady that she broke her record played in like the 70s. Gosh, dang it.
She a little bitter.
Well, she got asked about Caitlin Clark breaking her record. She's like, well, she can come talk to me when there's not a 3-point line and they use a men's ball and all this kind of stuff. Just like, shut up. That was, you look petty and ridiculous.
It does. It makes you should just congratulate her and move on. Yep.
Yeah. So, let's all just be positive, folks. I mean, let's.
And I gotta say, I don't care about basketball, and you know this.
I do.
Those South Carolina girls were good. I enjoyed watching them. They were really good, especially that really young one.
Yeah.
That 18-year-old, she was
their head coach, I went from thinking she was okay to really, really, really not being a fan in a span of about 5 minutes. But I do think that she's a hell of a coach. And
yes.
Those girls, what did I say? They went, I think they went 36-1. Last year,
mm-hmm, you did. Yep.
Got beat by Iowa in the Final Four. Came back this year, lost all 5 starters, and came back this year and went 37-0 and won the national championship.
They're amazing to watch.
That is, that's crazy.
Yeah, they were really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mention him now. Stevie liked watching him. He thought some of them were cute.
He did.
And he enjoyed watching the game. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball's basketball. Good mm-hmm. basketball.
They were very talented girls.
A lot of time when you watch women too, you can. It's more of a pure form of basketball because they actually run like good sets and good plays and things like that.
You were talking about that to me, how you enjoyed that.
Yeah, you can learn a, like coaches can learn a lot of new sets and things like that by watching women's basketball, but. You want to give our little conspiracy theory too about some of them, a few of them on South Carolina getting that NIL money and getting some work done? Not that it matters.
I feel like there might have been a little fillers.
It's okay.
A little bit of fillers.
It's okay, but girls, you're like 20. You're, you know.
Yeah.
You're enough.
Wait till you're like my age.
You're enough.
You're enough.
It's all good.
You're all cute.
But it's funny.
You're all talented.
Yeah.
Extremely talented.
And we could be completely wrong with that, by the way. That
it kind of looked like it though. But it either way. It
doesn't matter.
It doesn't. They're.
We're not saying we're not pro or anti any of that stuff, but it's just
you do what makes you feel good. But you're really young, you're really talented. You know, you're gonna have all gonna have great careers. So, mm-hmm.
So yes, yeah, that was one thing that
I probably enjoyed that. I am a girl, so I probably did enjoy that more because it was girls and it was just different, you know. And
well, I mean, I've you know
seeing them just.
I've always loved, I mean, like, I, you know, so from being little awesome. And watching high school girls
uh-huh.
destroy everybody with those teams at Shiloh, like, that got me nuts. So I've always appreciated it, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, they were
good basketball really is fun. Good. Okay, here's kind of how it works. Good basketball is fun to watch. Bad basketball is not.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter what...
NBA's bad basketball, not fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. There was a... somebody put out a... Even you'll, no, I shouldn't say even you, but you'll grasp this
okay.
concept.
I don't take offense to that statement because it's absolutely true.
The Celtics played the other night and some guy tweeted out, I can't think, they shot like 58 threes and 0 free throws.
Yeah, it's insane.
And the guy's like, NBA is broken. I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's just.
It's completely, completely different.
Yeah, I can't. I can't stand it. Mm-mm. It's not good.
Nope.
It's not good basketball. But that's why I feel like the NCAA tournament's more fun to watch, because it's just better brand of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, I'm sure you could talk about basketball all day.
I wouldn't know where to stop.
It's true.
It'd be hard to get me off the mic.
This would be like a five-parter if I got her talking about hoops the whole time.
Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, that's a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. But we're going to switch gears.
Okay.
For all of y'alls, it is Autism Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
So, we thought that, me the last about 9 years, but you, obviously, your entire life.
Well, my entire adult life.
Entire yes. Adult life.
Adult life, yes.
You know what? I could edit that out, but I'm not going
to. No, it's fine.
I'm leaving it in.
Feels like my whole life.
I'm leaving that in, and I'm leaving that horrible phrase about the ships and the tides okay. in, too. Okay.
Okay.
I'm leaving it all in.
I don't remember much before 18. bits and pieces.
But, if you would like to, mother, mm-hmm. I'm going to pretend I don't know any of this stuff that okay. I ask her, and she can just talk about it. But, you've had quite a journey with this. With autism,
mm-hmm.
motherhood.
Yep.
So, is that where you just want me to stop there, and you can kind of tell the people a little bit about your journey?
I can, and
I said journey.
Journey.
It's part of your journey.
Because
housewives, yes.
It is part of my journey, big part, and I'll probably want to talk the most about Drake just because he's my first child, and he's more severe. I have Drake and Spencer, and they're both on the spectrum, but Drake is more severe, and Drake was kind of, you know, as it is with any firstborn, you learn with your first child, so I didn't, you know, he's kind of my gauge for everything, because he's the first child I had.
I want to say one more thing real quick. You're going to talk about them, but this is also a very important episode for mothers.
Yes, and that is one thing I wanted to kind of emphasize, is that I don't come on here as some autism expert, because I'm not. I feel like I'm an expert on my two kids, just because that's all I know. But I do want to share my journey. This isn't even their journey; it's my journey with it. They have their, I mean, they're their own people. They have their own thoughts, their own outlook on life. This is mine, and if I can come on here for a little bit, and I used to do speaking engagements, and this is just a better way to do it, because it can reach more people. If I can maybe encourage a young mom who's just in the early years of dealing with it, or, you know, a mom that's going through the adolescent times, which is really difficult also, or one that's navigating transitioning their child through adulthood, which is a whole nother set of challenges. I got to hear several different women moms speak when Drake was young, and it helped me tremendously. So that kind of is a way for me to give back a little and help moms that, you know, when you have a child, you have no idea what their life's going to be like. And so nobody goes into motherhood thinking that this is going to be the way it is, and I certainly didn't, because
well,
I
and it was
so
you know, and it was 20. He's 25 now, so back then it was completely different.
Absolutely, totally different.
Yes. Why don't you just start? Whatever you want to talk about,
no,
but you know,
fine.
Like when you started to notice things, when you thought, you know, whatever, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, when I had Drake, I was 18 years old, so of course I was a kid. I didn't really, whatever, but I was very kind of had a chip on my shoulder, like, I'm going to be this mom. I'm going to show everybody that I'm a teen mom and I'll be great. Then I had Drake, and I didn't know what to do. But at about probably age 2.5, other family members started to notice, probably more so than I did, because I saw him every day, that he wasn't speaking like he should. And he just had some behaviors that were different. And the people that noticed that were probably people that hadn't raised, I mean, obviously they'd raised typical children. So, started noticing him not talking, He also played with his toys in a different way. He didn't play with cars like other kids play with cars. He lined them all up across a table and stood and looked out of the corner of his eye. And he flapped his hands, jumped and flapped his hands a lot. And he screamed a lot. A lot. Not just when he's excited, not just when he's mad. He just screamed. It was really exhausting. And his attention to...
And when he's... And when he does it, when he's about 22...
It's really loud.
I'm a grown man. And I was a little bit like, hey, whoa.
I'm a little afraid. So yeah, back then, he did have...
Shrieking.
Shrieking is almost a better word than screaming.
Yeah.
And he did have tantrums. And when I say tantrums, it was, you know... That probably was, that's hard. That's hard to remember the years of all that. But at probably age four, that was about, between ages four and eight, the tantrums were the worst. So started noticing these things, took him, and I was like, well, maybe he's deaf. Maybe he can't hear.
I remember you telling me that. That's what you're worried about.
He can't hear. And I was just terrified he can't hear. And so I took him for a hearing test. He passed. They have ways of doing that without the child speaking. He passed the hearing test.
Yeah, that's what I was going to curious about.
Yeah, I was like, how is this going to work? But it was amazing. We went to Carl for that. And as I was leaving, one of the women there that had done the test came out and gave me a phone number. And she said, I think you should call them. And it was a phone number for Child and Family Connections. And I think they'll be able to help him. And I called the number and got a lady, and she said, well, it sounds like he would benefit from speech therapy and occupational therapy. So they came in, they did an intake, did all that, and then we started doing weekly speech and occupational therapy at the home. And that was hard because there'd be times he was little. I mean, he wasn't three yet, so there'd be times he'd be asleep when she came and you didn't want to wake him up, and other times that he'd do okay. And I had great therapists. People that I remember to this day, and I'll see them, and they were just wonderful.
It's like an instant bond.
Instant bond.
Yes.
Absolutely. And during one of the occupational therapy sessions, the girl that did it, and I will say her name on here because she's a sweetheart, Julie Goff, she said to me, we've spoken about this since then. She said, you know, Drake reminds me of another child that I've seen before. She obviously didn't say his name or anything like that, but she said he does all the same things that he does and a lot of the same behaviors. And I think she's the first one that said the autism word to me. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, I'm not saying it is. And she was so sweet. And she said, maybe he just lines up all his toys because he's really good at it. Remember, like, us laughing? And yeah. She was just so kind and so sweet about how she, you know, approach the subject. It's hard to tell a mom that. And it was also in 2000. So this is like 23 years ago when this just wasn't, it was not talked about.
It's not as prevalent.
No. I am not going to lie. When I heard the word autism, I instantly thought of Rain Man. That is the only thing I could think of was, but
yeah.
Rain Man is such a different thing. He had autism, but he was also a savant, which means he had incredible ability to remember things and think of dates, but he also had meltdowns, and he also didn't like light and sound. So
true.
It part of it is everybody, they always say
every case is different.
It is true. And they say if you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism, because mm-hmm. No two are the same, just like no two atypical people are the same. We can vouch
for that big time, because
we're all different.
My
boys could not be more different. They are night and day.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they decided that we should probably go in for an evaluation with like a pediatric neurologist. And so went there because at age three, he would age out of the program. And then it would be time to start preschool, which terrified me, because nowadays most kids start preschool at three. But for me, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
So we took him to the appointment.
There's some that shouldn't be started.
No, it's rough. It's rough.
There's a lot of kids that shouldn't be started at three.
It's true. It's
autism.
It's
not autism.
It's a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. Because they said then he'll get speech therapy at preschool. So that's why in occupational therapy. So that's just how the program works, and it still does, and I understand it, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm not going to be this detailed about things, except this part is very important for moms. I remember taking him in to that neurologist. This is a pivotal moment as a mom, and that neurologist basically giving me, it's not a good diagnosis. It's not a true diagnosis, but he said, I would say he has PDD-NOS. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And it stands for pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified. So it's just like,
that's just a
big, he's developmentally delayed, but we can't really say what it is. He did not use the autism word. He did not use any of that terminology at all.
It's like a big bowl of nothing, you know.
Kept myself together, walked out of the clinic, and bawled my eyes out. And my mom was with me, and I just looked at her, and she said, it's because it's something, isn't it? And I said, yeah. I wanted to go in there and him say, he's fine.
Yeah.
But having a diagnosis. Now, you fight for a diagnosis, and you want to know what's wrong, because there are so many things you can do to help these kids. Back then, I didn't know what to do. I was just like, he's got something, and I don't know what it is. And anyway, saw that neurologist for a while longer, and then we ended up, I took him to the nurse for that doctor said, I really, really, really think you need to take him to a behavioral specialist. And she said, I worked for him, and I did. And that doctor was a different kind of guy, but he helped him a lot. And so I saw him for several years. And he gave me the diagnosis, and he was extremely honest with me. And I know they can't say, but back then he did. And I said, will he talk? And obviously no doctor can tell you that. But he was so honest with me. And he said, I doubt this, that Drake ever speaks past his wants and needs. I'm just saying. I don't look for that to happen. It can, but I don't look for it to happen. And Drake says random phrases, and he does speak beyond his wants and needs, but not much. And so nowadays,
yeah, that
might make you mad, but he was very honest with me because that's all he treated. I mean, that was his job. And seeing how Drake was at that age,
That guy for back then was very accurate.
He was, and it gave me a little jolt of reality that I probably needed and helped me, kind of brace myself for what life was going to be like. But anyway, having said all that, Drake's, he's gone all the way through school, but he's also always been, I think, first grade all the way through. He's been in a special ed classroom for all of his like subjects and stuff like that. He went to like music, and he went to PE, and they did have adaptive PE for him. So I had a special guy come in I've had a couple that weren't great and a couple that were, but also had a ton of wonderful, wonderful teachers, wonderful administration that worked with him, that were so kind and so willing to help him. And that's another thing about the podcast, that's we talk about small towns, and I could not be more blessed.
Yeah.
For the teachers out there that have helped him, and for the administration, we had the principal step down as principal because he was ready to retire and became Drake's full-time aide and was with him, I think, through his sophomore year. And that's just a huge blessing. I'll never be able to thank all the people that helped him. Having said that, I did write down a couple of things. Just mom things.
Well, and then
now you know the kind of... He went through all the way through school. He stayed in high school until age 22. We stayed as long as we could. You can stay, he has special needs, so he could stay through age 22.
We're going to talk about his weight a little bit?
Yeah, and also during that time, Drake is I didn't ever say how big of a guy he is, period. Drake was always big. Drake was a big baby. Drake was a big toddler. Everybody always thought he was older than if one more person asked me, said, oh, he's going to be such a great basketball player. I was like, I don't think so. He doesn't care about
that. What's funny is,
he doesn't care. He's the slowest moving guy.
Stevie will hand him a ball and he'll literally just kind of like drop it to him.
Yeah,
he
could care less about that. Yeah. Nope, no, whatever. But he got very big. And I remember, I will never forget this. That boy can eat. And he has OCD also. So his OCD is centered around food and drinks. More so drinks now, but back in the day it was food. It was way more food than drinks. So if there's like a jar of peanut butter in the fridge, he'd get up in the middle of the night and eat the whole jar. Or if somebody was with him that didn't know, he'd eat, you know, it's just, if he sees it, he feels like he has to finish it. And yes. So anyway, he got very big. And I remember taking him to a doctor. We'd switch doctors to a doctor in Terre Haute. And he said, I laughed so hard. He's like, well, he's OCD. Maybe you can get him obsessed with lettuce. I was like, yeah, good luck. It's not smothered in ranch.
Well, I feel like I helped get him obsessed with water.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you and I got married and we were all under the same roof, Drake kind of became your project. And it was like your coaching kicked in and you, we instituted some different things in the house where changed the way food was presented, changed the way we handled food. But then you also took Drake on daily walks. And he went from, I'm not going to be able to be exact, but 390 to, his lowest?
He got down under 200.
He was under 200 at one point. And that is simply walking and just changing the amounts, not necessarily even the food, changing the amounts of what he eats.
Yeah. We changed the food.
So, we got him to like some different things, too. Which
I felt like a lot of it, too, was just like, he'd ask for something and I'd just be like, nah, it's almost like redirection, like with like a toddler or something or not, you know, but you know,
I know what you mean.
If he'd want something, just be like, nah, no, you're fine. You know? And he just kind of move on to something.
And he did. And that helped him so much because when you did that with him, when you're already dealing with behavioral issues and all of that, if you have weight issues on top of it, then you're looking at, okay, what if he becomes diabetic? What if he has heart problems? What if he has this? How's he going to handle that? Oh, that'd be fun to give him insulin. Like, there are so many things. So you doing that with him helped so much. And he's 25 and he's still.
I'd say he's 230 maybe.
No, I think the last one was just like 240 something. And they're, where he is now, they are very happy with that.
Yeah.
They are very, he's lost weight again. His weight kind of does fluctuate, just kind of depending. He's at a healthy weight. He's good now. And he's 6'1", so it's not like he's short. He looks good.
Yeah, he's still taller than that. He's damn near as tall as I am. Also, but here's, I wish that the discipline I was using on him, I could use on myself, but
it's true.
Hey, you know,
I can't either.
It's easy to tell somebody else to quit.
Yeah, no doubt. It's so true. But,
He
did stay in and lived with us and has always been with me, until age 22.
Yep.
On and off throughout his life, we'd have a few years with no, outbursts or behaviors. And when I say outbursts for Drake, I mean physically aggressive. So physical aggression toward others and toward himself has been a problem for him since he was 4 years old. It's either been hitting, kicking, breaking. He'd break a window. He would knock, like if there was a table with decorations on it, he would just rail that table and knock everything down. And that's always been there, but we've been able to, you know, work with doctors and stuff like that to help to kind of level it out. So we'd have a few years with none of that. And then it kind of just rears its ugly head. And so.
And when we had a little one.
But we had a little one. And
you need to talk a little bit about either before or after you get done with this part, but like trying to, you know, medications and stuff too.
Yeah, there's been a lot of different medications. It's been essential for Drake. It isn't for everybody. It's not essential for everybody, but for Drake, 100%.
Absolute necessity.
Just because of how severe the OCD is and how severe
physical behaviors are. It makes it tough because he's constantly, although it feels like since we've been married, it's like, you know, they'll try something and they'll switch it to something else and try and get that right.
Right.
Balance.
It's never going to be perfect. Frustrating. And it's never going to go completely away. And I understand that. But we got to a point in his early 20s where school was going to be ending. So his life wouldn't really have a lot of structure. And his behaviors were starting again. And they had been over, like, I would say, the probably year prior to him turning 22, it'd been on and off. You'd have a good long time with that one. But then when he had one, it's like, we got a 21-year-old man having a meltdown. And he's large. So it got to the point where I there'd been years where I would have family members say, you know, he probably won't be able to live with you forever. And I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm his mom. I'm going to care for him for the rest of my life. And John married me knowing that was the plan. He will be with me and he will be with us forever. There was not even a thought of that. I just thought that was how it was supposed to be. I honestly didn't think anything else. I thought that's what it's supposed to be. When you have a special needs kid, you just take care of him forever. Well,
that kind of comes back to the chip on your shoulder a little
bit. Chip on my shoulder, and also I'm just like.
And then it was kind of on mine. It was kind of on mine as well. Like,
and, you know, yeah, but. And you never brought that up, and I think I got to a point where Drake's not the only one living in the house.
Yeah,
and I
having a little
having a little one, and also having Spencer, mm-hmm. who is not scared of him at all, could get hurt, and so we have a little guy that could get hurt. Another child that could get hurt, who Spencer's 6 years younger than Drake, and then myself. And it was always going to be, typically it would be acted out toward me because I'm the one handling when he has a fit because I've had the most experience. And he had a meltdown one time, I'll never forget, right before I made the decision, because I do feel like I made the decision, and he cornered me in the bathroom and I couldn't get out. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I finally got out and I walked up the stairs. And I looked at you and I said, I don't think he can live here anymore.
Yeah.
And we made the decision to look at alternative living, you know, arrangements, and worked with some wonderful people. And they listened to me through a lot of tears and guilt and crying, and without question.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The hardest decision of my life. Nothing can compare to that decision. And I would lay in bed and I would cry and cry and cry, because it's one thing when your child leaves home when they're, you know, 18 or 20 or 22 or whatever, and he was 22, and they make the decision. But this is one thing I did really want to speak about, because when you make the decision for them, that's like a next layer of not only guilt but separation. Like, I've been with this child his whole life, and he's been with me, and I've cared for him. And how will he feel, or what will he think? And I had all those feelings. And we made the decision and worked with some really great people and found, they call them group homes. It's called a SILA. It's a home with 16 individuals with special needs, all different things. It's not autism, it's all different things. And we found a house in Sullivan, Illinois, and they were wonderful with him. And he moved in, and we started doing... He moved in the height of COVID, which sounds crazy, but for Drake was wonderful because they had so many restrictions. So they had restrictions on the kitchen, and they had restrictions on the outings, and they couldn't do as much. So it was extremely... just
restricted.
He knew what to expect.
And he couldn't... when they're quarantined, or, you know, whatever.
When they're in quarantine, they're kind of all in the house. They could go outside. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of options. And Drake does really well with few options. I do well with few options.
Fridge is off limits.
Yeah, like they would make the meals, they would do all that, but there wasn't of access to things. Yeah. So he did really, really well there. And then he started in the day program, and they did outings, and we started our visits, and we, you know.
Hey, real quick, don't you think that helped? Because... I'm assuming they would just take the meals to his room and give them to him, and he'd just stay in his room rather than him being out there and seeing everything or seeing where things.
I think they
real big with Drake. If he sees where something comes from, like if he knows if he knows, like, there are cookies in that cabinet.
Right. And even for a while, that, you know. Even for a while after quarantine and after the COVID restrictions lifted, he did okay with the kitchen.
Yeah.
He did okay. And then, let's see, when would that have been?
Things got a little sideways.
Things went a little sideways. So, we had to look at, they worked with us for so long and were so wonderful during the meltdowns and the fits and all that. And finally it became obvious that he couldn't stay because that kind of an environment isn't
putting
other people in danger. Drake is aggressive and Drake is violent. So we had to look into a state facility. And when you say state facility, it sounds pretty scary. And I was very scared. I didn't know anything about it.
But that's old school thinking.
It's very old school thinking. And we got a list of places, and actually a doctor at Sarah Bush helped. He was so wonderful. And he got me on the phone one day, and I remember when I got the call that we were going to have to make this decision. I had to leave work, and another one of those drop to my knees days where I was like, okay, like, and I am a Christian and I'm a believer. And I was like, Lord, you have taken care of this child since he was born. You have found a place for him. You have provided people for him to help him in every step of his life. And you got to do it again because I have no choices here. And we got a list of facilities, and he got picked up by the facility in Centralia, which is 2.5 hours from us. And so we went and toured it, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the things they could provide for him were so wonderful. And so they made the transition last April of 2023. So he's been there. I just had my year meeting. And we do the exact same visits like we did here. We bring him home every month. I'm able to talk to him whenever I want. They do so many things. They have their daily program that's on site. They do outings. They do all kinds of things. It is truly amazing. But they can handle his fits, and they have ways to handle them that are so much better. And so it's just amazing. I can't describe how happy I am, and I always thank the people because they take such good care of him. And he loves going back. He loves to come home, and he loves to go back. That's the biggest question I get when people ask about it is, does he like to go back? I'm like, yeah, he loves going back.
Yeah.
That's his home. There are people there. And another thing I wanted to say was advice, not advice, but just encouragement is about adults. When you have an adult with special needs, couple of things that I learned in the last couple years really is they need their own life. Their life isn't yours. Yours isn't theirs. Every individual, special needs or not, needs their own future and their own space and their own whatever that looks like. If it's on their own, great. If it's in a group home, great. If it's in a small group home, awesome. Or if it's where Drake is. Drake is not, we're not attached. He's my child and I will love him forever. But he's an individual and he has his own needs and his own things that he needs, and I can't provide that. And that's okay. And I remember speaking to one of the nurses when he was his first week at Murray Center, which is where he is in Centralia. And he said, I'm amazed by parents that think that they can handle this. And most parents do. And that really helped me so much because I knew they could handle him. And I know he would be happier because he would be able to be the best Drake possible because he's getting the best help possible. And another thing I would say, this is really hard. To moms of young kids is let your kid be your kid. Don't try to fit them into the mold that the world thinks they should be. Kids on the spectrum are unique and special, just like kids that aren't on the spectrum are unique and special. I have 3 unique and special children. They are all different. They all have different abilities. They have all different strengths and weaknesses, but they're all themselves. They are all exactly who God created them to be. So don't get hung up on your child fitting into the mold. I remember those days. I remember the birthday parties, taking him and trying to get him to play with the other kids the way they're supposed to play, and trying to get him to do the things that is typical. That's okay. That's not your kid. Trying to take him to a restaurant and get him to sit through a meal when he could care less and he'd rather go through the drive-thru. Do what works for your kid and what works for your family. Because in the long run, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. If they're able to have a life that's happy and that you can just support. And that is my number one thing I would say. And I have felt those feelings. I remember those days being a young mom with a young child and being angry at all the other moms because their kids could do all the things that my kid couldn't. And that will pass. That's the biggest encouragement I can give you, is that will pass. If you feel that, and you may not, but I did, that will pass, because you will see that they got their kids for a reason. They were supposed to be the moms to those kids, and you're supposed to be the mom to your kid. It's not better or worse. It's not. It's who we're supposed to, you know, God knows He gives us the children that we're supposed to have. And all I can say is, for me, giving Drake and Spencer, I didn't talk about Spencer as much because Spencer has his own challenges, don't get me wrong. But dealing with Spencer hasn't been as challenging as dealing with Drake. It's been different. But Drake is my first, so he's his own thing. And I feel the exact same way about Spencer. Spencer has his own amazing things he can do. He's still here with us. He's going to a day program. He's transitioned from school. And he loves girls, and he loves movies, and he loves all these different things. Yeah. And he's just he's an incredible heart.
He recites movies. I mean, he memorizes movies, and he memorizes songs.
And he loves to sing, and he loves to be around people. He's way more social. He loves to be around other kids or adults and whatever.
But it's funny, though. Drake, though, is very, like, affectionate. Mm-hmm. Wants to be, you know, just cuddle with them and all that kind of stuff. Spencer doesn't. He's a little more, like, whatever.
A little stiff. He's a little more stiff.
And then you also got, they couldn't be more different, and Drake is an absolute obsessed with picking up and being a clean freak, and Spencer is the opposite.
We call him Pigpen. And my mom always says that. She's like, there's like a cloud that follows that kid. And it's true. Wherever he goes, yeah, he just sprinkles a little whatever.
So that's what we're talking about. There's, you know,
oh my gosh,
autism with autism. There's no...
And if you think about your siblings, if you have siblings, how different you are. It doesn't matter if you're on the spectrum or not. Right. That is the truth. They are very different people. Spencer is a stick. He's skinny. He's tall. But he can eat whatever he wants. And a plate of brownies, and he just doesn't gain the weight. He's
right.
He's a little more hyper and all of that, but he's a sweetheart, and he just has his own journey, and I can't wait to see what that is for him.
Right.
Because it's exciting to watch him turn into adults. I can't say adult in front of Spencer because he says I'm a child. He's a kid. And I love Rod Stewart, and I love that Rod Stewart song, Forever Young, because that's how I feel about my boys. They are childlike. And they're innocent and trusting in the world. And I wish I could take a little bit of that from them. That is one of the biggest blessings of kids like Drake and Spencer, is they don't see the bad.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the bad in people. They don't see the bad in life. They're always, you know, Spencer especially always looks at the good, and also they bring out the best in other people. You can have someone that you may think is not the nicest person, and you bring the boys around them, and you see a side.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the gifts that God gives people with special needs, is they have the ability to bring out the good. Definitely the good in me. Not so good. I'm a mom, so sometimes, you know, that other side comes out. I'm a mom, but...
I think that... Not to mention, but our son... And our nieces and our niece and nephew, and our son as well, like, you know, he's already, you know, he's very good with them.
Oh my.
But it's also we're hoping that it'll help him just be a good person. You know what I mean?
You can't grow up around a child with special needs or an adult with special needs and not have empathy and not have a special level of compassion. Preston and Paxton, my niece and nephew. Oh, sorry. Just trying not to lose it. I'm glad we're not taping this one.
I am. I just didn't tell you. It's right behind the Larry Sanders Show.
They have been tremendous in the boys' lives. I can't. My whole family, but those kids grew up together. And Preston had Spencer in his wedding. Yep, and
Spencer
Paxton
was a groomsman.
Is like his best friend, and they include him in everything. And I don't even have words for that. And Stevie's the same way. And what I'm very grateful for with Stevie is he's growing up and he is just getting to see the fun Drake. When he comes home, Drake's fun. You know, he's not witness to it's different when the kids were all little and the cousins, they were all little. But Stevie knows Big Drake, and if Big Drake was having meltdowns all the time, it'd be pretty scary. So he gets to enjoy just spending time with him. He's so excited for Drake's visits.
And Drake
sits on his lap.
And Drake loves him. Drake's always tickling him.
Together.
Drake's always he calls them babies.
Babies.
I love babies.
Yes, absolutely.
What's wrong, babies? Yeah.
And Spencer and Stevie have a very special relationship.
And they're brothers.
They don't get along sometimes. They drive each other crazy. But it's really sweet because Spencer is attached to his things. But if Stevie goes in that room and asks him for anything, yep.
Yeah.
You can have it. You can take it. You can borrow it. Yeah. He uses his Chromebook. He borrows whatever. And they'll sit at the table and they'll watch movies together and laugh. And Stevie gets tickled at Spencer singing the songs and quoting the lyrics. And it's just, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. I struggled with people would say that. They're such a blessing. And I'd be like, I'm raising them. You're not. You can't say that. I can say that now.
Yeah.
Of course they are, but I'm glad we got to talk about this. I feel I got some therapy just now.
So that's good. That's good. Good. Well, and it was good message to young moms that may be dealing with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will say one thing. Those moms that I heard speak when I was young, I still think of them. Still. One spoke about her son that was violent and he was in school too, so he was still young. And she had three children on the spectrum, and I would just take encouragement from her. If I was having a hard day, I would think about her and I'd think, she's doing it and I can do it. She's doing it. She's got three of them and hers were all different. She only had one that had, you know, really bad meltdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then another mom who spoke, and hers wasn't autistic. He had a traumatic brain injury when he was little.
Jeez.
And he became extremely violent in their home. I have listened to her speak the same message. I don't know if she did it more than once. I don't even remember her name. And she spoke on Focus on the Family many, many, many years ago. And she talked about the journey of dealing with him. And I listened to that, I don't even know how many times.
Yeah.
When I was just sad or afraid or nobody, I didn't feel like anybody understood at all what I was going through, what he was going through. And there was never really an answer. And I feel like at this stage of our life, and Drake's life, we've got peace.
Yeah.
Finally. And yeah. He's somewhere where he can stay. And we can still have the best relationship ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever part of it you're in.
Hang in there.
Hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be all right.
Well, that was wonderfully put, wifey.
Thank you. You want to talk about basketball, though, right? I mean, I'm just getting warmed up.
No, I was
what
actually.
What do you want to know?
we have the TV on. And about 15 minutes ago, they had a thing about Lunchables on there. I'm like, oh, man, we buy like 100 of those a week. Are they getting recalled or something? But I didn't say anything.
No.
Like,
no.
There was a thing. I'm just kidding.
No, I already saw it on the TikTok.
Okay.
There's a thing about levels of lead, levels of whatever. There are two in the fridge. I'm going to take one for the team, and I'm going to eat them.
So they're not...
Well, they used to be like
on trying to run Lunchables out of business.
No, they used to be on like the preferred lunch thing. And I even think some school districts use them in their lunch programs. And it said there's like they're really high in sodium, which I don't care. That's all. Like I'll eat it. I don't care. Yeah. And then there's more lead than they're supposed to, whatever. So they're going to like relook at their deal. So there's two. Geez. I'll eat them. It's fine.
All right.
And he's off of them right now anyway. He's on to peanut butter sandwiches. So it's all good.
Well, good.
So yeah. I'm eating those. I mean, when I go inside, I don't know. We'll see.
Treat yourself.
I'm going to treat myself. It's the one with the cookies, and I love the cookies. So.
Treat yourself.
It's all right.
Yeah. Well, this is a great episode. And I don't have to make this a two-parter. It's only 48. We're at 40.
Good. I wasn't too long-winded then.
No.
I get a little chatty sometimes.
No, it's perfect. Perfect. So... All right, well, hope you guys enjoy this. Hopefully a lot of people will listen, and anyone that needs this for encouragement or for advice or for anything.
Comment. I'm on the Facebook. I'm there. Mandy Heath.
Oh, she is.
I am.
Hey, don't comment on the one that hacked you when you first got it.
That's right. Don't go under Mandy Heath. It's still hacked.
If it's a picture of me and her...
It's not the right one.
It's probably somebody from another country trying to steal everyone's identity. So
I just had to restart. But yes, I'm Mandy Heath on Facebook, also on Instagram. I'm not ever on Instagram, but I think I get the messages anyway. So yeah, if you just want to chat, I'm not good at advice. I'm just good at practical things. Just. Practical. And I will pray for you, or I'll pray with you.
There you go. Awesome. All right. Well, great episode. High five, wife.
High five. Wifey. High fives, as Rick would say. High fives. Good jobs. He says good jobs.
I'm rubbing her arm.
Okay. This is getting weird. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. And that's that.